when your soul goes into your body and stuff. Boom! I'm always putting shit on blast. Always. Right. You know what I'm saying? And no one has really ever been able to say, you know, Dennis calm down, you know. And if they didn't warrant any part of my heart or you know, me wanting to, you know, me caring about the relationship I had, you know, then I would listen, you know. It depended on what our relationship was, if how much attention I would give or adherence I would give. You know what I'm saying? So like in basic, you didn't know what the fuck you were getting into being my battle buddy. You did not know what the fuck. Because first of all, we were supposed to talk about with each other, you know, our battle buddies for how long?
Shit, pretty much the rest of the night, nigga, like 12 hours, nigga, get to know this dude.
and then
you're supposed to tell him your life pretty much, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Your battle buddy is, well, first let's explain what a battle buddy is, right? So in the Army, I can't speak about other branches, but I know in the Army, if you ever been around the military, you may have heard the word battle before. And what battle is, right? So the Army indoctrinates you and gives you the understanding that nothing you ever do is alone. You're part of a team. And part of that team is a squad. And part of that squad is you and your battle buddy. Your battle buddy, this other person that does everything with you. You never are alone. Never leave this person's side no matter what. You die, they die, pretty much.
Yeah, you get in trouble, they get in trouble.
Yeah, you get disciplined, you gotta be with them. You ain't never getting disciplined alone. You might have been the one that messed up royally, but they gonna go through it with you no matter what you did. That's a battle buddy. You know what I'm saying? So this is my battle buddy. We just met each other, and we had to be getting ready for our first inspection of our barracks. So we cleaning, and then while we cleaning, I'm telling you about my life, you telling me about my life, your life, and you be understanding where each other is coming from, and we better be able to recite any question.
Yeah, if they say
it was told to us, I don't care if he tell you when he was 3, he bumped his head, you better be able to remember that, because if I ask you that question, you better know, because you better know this motherfucking nigga that's going to save your life one day. Pretty much.
Right, yep. This motherfucker's gonna have your back when it comes down to it. Yep.
And I remember, I was so ingrained in that shit. I remember we got separated when we were on our outing one day. And you ended up in one place, and I think I ended up at the strip club. And I partnered up with this other dude, Schroeder ass. But he was fucking crazy, man. And he wasn't my battle. And all I know is we at the strip club. The ladies is dancing, we having a good time. This dude puts the money in his mouth and wants the girl to come take the money out of his mouth. Well, you know, the girl, she has a little sense about herself. She's not literally a slut or whatever. And she's like, yo, the money is dirty. I don't want to do that. And he's like, you're going to take this money out of my mouth right now.
What?
And the girl was like, I'm not going to do that. And this motherfucker goes to grab the bitch. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So at this point, the fucking bouncers come to snatch this dude up, and they're like, yo, you need to leave. And he's looking at me like, you going with me? I looked at that nigga like, you ain't really my battle buddy, nigga. Fuck you. I don't know what your stupid ass on, bro. You stupid as shit. What the fuck you grab a bitch for? Cause she won't take the money out your mouth.
Yeah.
Well, my battle buddy is motherfucking fucking Hugo motherfucking goddamn bud in this bitch. You know what I'm saying? So that's the only motherfucker I care about out this bitch. I don't know you like that, bro. Shit, you out here doing crazy shit, and I'm gonna have to take this shit with you. Nah, I'm enjoying myself with these bitches. What you talking about?
Have you ever been to the strip club, Chris? Have we ever been to the strip club?
No, we haven't been to the strip club, but we've been to the bar. And I remember the way that night ended was we was combat rolling out of the bar's window. You remember that night? We were in. I think we were in Dos Gringos. I think we were in, I don't know if we were, we was in, I think it was in Sedona. I think we was in Sedona at Dos Gringos, and I remember we was having a good time. The chicks was coming by. We was just chilling. We hadn't seen each other in a while, but whenever we see each other, it's like we ain't missed no time. We just pick up like we left off, because I know you like I know the back of my motherfucking hand at this point. And we just having a good time, man. And then all I know is we got fucked up and we was leaving, and I remember us combat goddamn rolling out of the fucking window of the bar. I was we're not even in the army no more. What the fuck are we doing, bro?
That's why I stopped drinking years ago. That's why I stopped drinking years ago. You know, when in basic, you know, the shit that I did. There's one time in particular, Chris, where I didn't pick you as a battle buddy. And you want to know why? So we were going to classes. And you remember Drill Sergeant Tomlinson?
I remember.
And Drill Sergeant Dewhurst? Okay, mm-hmm. So one of 3rd Platoon's, was it 3rd Platoon? One of 3rd Platoon's soldiers, you know, we always talk shit. You know, it was always the black hole. If you was at the top at the black hole, then you could talk shit with the best of them. You can shoot shit with the best of them. And so I told him, I was like, tell your drill sergeant, because we always got hated on. We always got, like Club Charlie, I mean Charlie Bay.
Charlie Bay.
Yeah, always got hated on. They would try to, snitch us out.
Charlie Bay was a barracks that had 2 different platoons in it. So we kind of like in competition with each other, but we still part of the same unit. They was on one side of the building and we was on the other side.
But we all had the same, we had to keep it clean. You know what I'm saying? When we was all in basic. This was basic and AIT. This is OSUT. And so what we did is we had someone pick the lock. Okay, well, the closet that was in Charlie Bay was a closet where everybody's personal gear was, everybody's personal clothes. Like whenever we got passes for the weekends, we get to get our personal clothes and everything like that. So,
hold on. I can't even let you slide with that. Like we had regular goddamn OSIT. OSIT means, right, in the regular military, most people go into the military, they do their basic at a certain place. They might go to Fort Jackson, and they're at Fort Jackson for 4 weeks or 6 weeks or however long basic is. Once they graduate basic, then they fly out or they go to their station for their advanced individualized training, AIT. But because we were chemical, and Fort Leonard Wood has 4 OSIT training positions. So you have chemical, you got MPs, and you got combat engineers at Fort Leonard Wood. And we're all OSIT. So that what that means is you graduate basic, and we just go to AIT. There's no transition. There's no go to another unit. We trust you motherfuckers now. No, we basically stayed in basic for fucking 6 months. That's basically what it was. And we had one overnight pass the whole time. And while we're looking at everybody else on base who's here for AIT, like the truck drivers, they get finished with their day. They and their civilians, and they leaving off post because they trusted.
Yep.
But because our training is so arduous and so in-depth, they keep us within the confines to keep our minds within the job.
Yes, and I'm going to say this too. It's concurrent. So there's no flying out and going to see, you know, having a weekend to yourself before you started advanced individual training. You know, if other MOSs had that, but we had as soon as we were done with basic, we rolled right over into it. So our phase, we had longer phases and more phases, you know what I'm saying, than the original basic, you know what I'm saying? And then I got the additional skill and had to stay another month and a half. So I was there for seven and a half months in one place. Yeah.
At the same unit with the same people.
Mm-hmm.
And you still don't get the freedom of other soldiers.
Well, no, in AIT, in Lima 4 school, I started going to the clubs when I was in Lima 4 school with Gower and who else? Miller. Oh man, who else?
I know whoever it was all active duty.
Yeah.
It was Yeah.
So this was just one instance when I told one of the 3rd Platoon soldiers, I was like, tell your drill sergeant that there's height at the end of the rainbow. Now, Drill Sergeant Dewhurst was like 4'6". Drill Sergeant, no. Thomason was like 4'6". Dewhurst was like 4'11". Do you remember when Drill Sergeant Thomason came in and it wasn't our locker, it was the one next to us. It was full. She picked the whole locker up, shook it, and then tossed that bitch. And she was 4'6".
The soldiers' full personal equipment. Full weekly uniforms, they boots, whatever personal shit they got in there. She just picked that shit up and
shook it. She like shook it first. Nothing. Shook it first and then chucked it. Okay.
Give back to telling me why you didn't pick me as a battle buddy.
So I was like, tell your drill sergeant that there's height at the end of the rainbow, right? Mm-hmm. Like, fuck it, tell him. I don't give a fuck. Right? So we're going to class, remember? And we come to attention, left face, you know, parade rest. And then they talk to us, you know, give us counseling, and then you know, right face, attention, right face, and then fall out. You know, not fall out, 1st platoon, 2nd platoon, 3rd platoon, like that. And then they would do it like, they'd be like, 1st platoon, 1st squad, fall out. 1st platoon, 2nd squad, 2nd platoon, 1st squad, fall out. Man, that shit was nasty. Okay, so anyways, we're standing, we come to right face, right? And we're towards the last of the rows. We're going to be last to file in. And Drill Sergeant Dewhurst, the top of his hat, I mean, well, the brim of his hat, of his drill sergeant hat, hit me on my chin, on my lower chin. And so, you know, it kind of took my face, like to the left, like my jaw went, like it got hit, you know? And he's like, he said, hey, Pride. He said, what you tell my soldier, Pride? I was like, drill sergeant? I said that this height at the end. He said, don't even finish that shit, private. He said, you know what? I want you and 5 battle buddies, private. I'm gonna smoke the dog shit out you, private. I'm gonna smoke your ass, private. I'm gonna fucking smoke you, private. I was like, drill sergeant? Yes, drill sergeant. Look, the reason I didn't pick you is because I was still mad that motherfuckers was stealing from the DFAT.
Let me tell that story. So one day, my battle buddy and I, we in the bathroom, we freshening up. We in the mirror, getting clean. Right after dinner, man, we sitting up here, start smelling something. Me and Basic, you don't have certain niceties, right? You don't have what's called fat cakes. You ain't getting no honey buns, no sweets, no sugar.
They still had some fat cakes in the defect, and we did have Black trying to bring a fat cake back.
No, that's what I'm saying. Couldn't touch them. They was there.
Oh, yeah.
Temptation, but if you touched them, how many ever calories is in that fat cake? The whole platoon had to give them calories back. So he's going to work out until all the calories was given back. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, we in the bathroom and I start smelling something. I'm saying, my nose is super sensitive at this moment. And what the smell is I smell the sugar, but it's peanut butter. It's peanut butter, y'all. I'm like, yo, battle, you smell that? And I remember Dennis was like, hell yeah, battle, I smell what the fuck is that? And we start kicking and stuff. I mean, we going down a line, kicking stall doors, and then finally we get to the door where this motherfucker is. Little muck mouth ass dude.
Black. It was Black.
Black is from West Virginia. I'm not gonna say much more about that. But Black is from West Virginia. He's your typical what some people may have as a idea of what a West Virginian would look like.
Wasn't he all curled up like Smeagol?
Yeah, he was like like, he was like the dude off of The Hobbit.
Yeah, he was all, but he was all curled up on the toilet seat like that. He was sitting and standing on the toilet seat at the same time.
Because he heard us kicking in his door, so he stood up on the toilet. You're right. He was in there like he didn't want to see his feet because he knew he was kicking the doors down. And then we got to him. He got peanut butter in his hand.
All over his mouth.
That dude called a blanket party that night, look, bro.
He had crackers and fucking peanut butter and shit. He put sugar on the peanut butter and put the peanut butter in the crackers and ate, like this motherfucker.
But only these years later I realized what was going on. Cause now his book makes sense now that we're speaking about it. Bro, he was a drug addict before he joined the army.
Yeah. I mean a lot of them were.
A lot of them were.
Cause do you remember? Do you remember on Sundays? Do you remember on Sundays? Remember that because look, okay, so okay, when let's go back to the okay. Right now, I'm gonna say, do you remember the smell, that funky ass smell on Sundays? But okay, now I'm gonna say this: Club Charlie was our bae. Okay, we I think it was a mix between first and fourth platoon, maybe, or first and second platoon males, or the males from first and third, no, the males from first and second platoon, and then Delta Bay was the males from second and fourth platoon, and then the female Bay, Alpha Bay, was first and third, and then Echo was Alpha Bay, Charlie, Delta Bay. Charlie Bay was our bay, and then okay, so in the closet we had an unmarked bag, so we just threw it amongst all the other ones. But in that bag, I'm gonna name off some things. Chris, you name off some things. We had portable DVD players, we had boxing gloves, we had clippers. Dip, we had clippers. What else we had?
Cigarettes.
Dip,
every piece of
candy.
Everything was in his bag, yo.
Do you remember the mission that we took to go get that shit?
Candy, all that shit.
And how the fuck did we get boxing? Oh, it was Gordo, wasn't
it? Gordo. No, it wasn't Gordo. It was that black guy from New Jersey.
Oh,
remember he was a boxer before.
Yeah, We would box on Sundays, right? We would box on Sundays, because there was only one drill sergeant on the weekends.
And then we came to the realization that we wasn't gonna quit smoking cigarettes. So we decided that since we be doing so much running, doing training, that hey, since we not gonna quit smoking cigarettes, we might as well train our bodies to run with less lung capacity. So we decided to keep cigarettes on hand, and we would smoke cigarettes in the bathroom by the vent before PT in the morning.
Yep.
So we be all walking out there with hair rushes and shit. And the drill sergeants had no idea. We did this shit so clean, man. Like they even found out because the females was mad that we had access to all this stuff.
Everybody was mad.
The females in Alpha Bay found out.
Yes. Well, you know why? Do you know why?
Alpha Bay didn't even know.
Let me go back to that smell. We had condoms in there, and having condoms on Sundays. They would use the blankets from their other battle buddies to cover up one bunk, like make it to where you couldn't see in there or anything. And then the female would come into, would sneak into the bay, and they would, you know what I'm saying, they'll get down on it, right? And then the smell.
I didn't even know that was going on. Oh
well,
I feel bad. I missed out, bro.
did you ever catch a fucked up ass smell though?
I always caught the smell when we stayed in there too long, but I always felt like it was because it was a small area, man. And
right.
Normally we go every day.
Huh.
We out before 7 and we come back and we out before 9.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then we go on for the day. So on Sunday, we in that bitch and you smell them motherfuckers. Because if people were scared, we had a community shower. You know what I'm saying? And some people just was not confident in themselves enough to get naked in front of another man.
Well, yeah.
I thought motherfuckers just wouldn't wash them.
Well, man, no. The smell on Sundays, that was that because people were detoxing.
Yeah. Oh.
So, but then like the females, because you know, insatiable, you know, they was needing it, bro. And so on Sundays, and the old dude from Jersey was the one getting it. Him and that one white cat that was smooth. I forgot his name. He's from like Kentucky or something. I don't know.
He's from Texas. I know who you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Texas.
About, with the fucking big ass neck and shit. I can't think of his name, yo. He used to be with Garza.
That's who the one. Didn't you box him or he boxed somebody?
We was about to, man, because remember I had stepped out. Remember we were sitting in front of the company, and I stepped out in front of the platoon to order the platoon to move because a vehicle was coming. And this motherfucker was like, "Oh shit, the stupid leading the stupid." And
oh, like, wow.
Nigga, what the fuck up? And remember we started plexing this shit. I was like, "Who the fuck are you talking to?" And when we got to the bay. When we got back to the bay, this nigga was apologizing to me. I'm sorry and this and that and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, cool, man, but just don't disrespect me, dog. I'm not that one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then when people started coming around, it was like, what the fuck these niggas talking about? You know what I'm saying? It's like, what's up, dude? You want to go to the goddamn show?
No. It was we boxed on the weekends. We boxed every weekend until we got caught. True that, and remember, I didn't want to box either. But you beat that
Italian dude ass. Listeners, if y'all can tell us something, we want you to translate this for us. If you understand Italian, and trust me, we not stupid. I know I can just Google it, but I just want to put something on you, and I want you to just feedback on us and tell us what certain shit that this motherfucker used to say, because he used to sound racist as a fuck. But we don't know what the fuck he said. But our reaction was, motherfucker, I ain't stupid. Used to call us
Mulianis
and shit.
You fucking Muli. What we call you we're from is a fucking Muli. And so look.
Let me tell you this Sunday boxing match.
Wait, say it again.
I said my boy got his ass on the Sunday boxing match. This is how it went down.
So we were just kicking it. You know what I'm saying? Talking shit, you know. And Mahoney, it was Mahoney.
That's his name.
He was.
Hold on. Let's do this. Whenever we speak about people in situations like that, let's just make sure we go ahead and disguise their name, because I know the situation you're talking about. You know the situation I'm talking about. But I don't want to be in a position where I'm making somebody feel a certain way. You know, this new day in age in America.
Oh yeah. Somebody might actually go look him up. Well, y'all can look him up. Anyways, me and Mahoney is still battles. Anyways, I mean but this is what happened. So he was talking his moody shit, you know, like like fuck you, you know, where his bottom lip only on the inside is wet and everything else is all crusty and shit. Looking like the shit to get callus off your feet. That's what the outside of his lip looked like. But anyways, so he's talking shit about the West Coast. So I say, you know what? I feel sorry for the lives lost during 9/11. I was like, but fuck the two towers, homie. And he was like, it's on. And we got a box. And so everybody's like, oh, hell yeah. And then they strapped him up, you know. And so, you know, I'm bouncing around a little bit, you know. When I first started basic, I was running my 2 miles at like 16 minutes and 30 plus, you know, every 2 miles. Okay. So about this time I've got my run time down to like 14 minutes, you know, 13 minutes and 50 seconds. I ended up finished 2 miles in 13 minutes and 5 seconds. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm dancing, you know, I'm like my feet. And he comes with the jab, and I slip to the right down, and I hit him in the stomach, blop, blop, twice, boom, you know what I'm saying? And come back around, and he tries to come with his left, you know? So I block it, and from the inside of his arm, I hit him with two uppercuts and two left hooks. Bop, 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 bow. It was left hook, I mean, left uppercut, right uppercut, and everyone connected. And then left uppercut, right uppercut, right hook, and then step back, and it was all smooth. I stepped back like shuffling my hands like Tyson when he moved in, but I moved back like that, and everybody was like, oh shit, you know what I'm saying? And Mahoney, what did he take, a knee or did he take a seat? Which one did he do?
Shit, you took a seat, bro.
Man, look, bro.
Them motherfuckers like nothing but like a buck 20 wet, bro.
Man, and I was I weighed like 145 when I at the end of basic.
One thing interesting about you, you that always I wanted to get, understand what was your journey, because I know at one point you were over 200 pounds before you joined the Army. By the time I met you, you had already dropped all that weight and was in the 160 range.
Yeah.
Something like that. What was that journey that you went through before you joined the Army?
Okay, so when I was growing up, I looked like a little Thundercat. I had too much iron in my blood. So they had to do a bone marrow test. So they act like they was getting blood, and they scraped in between my my brachial bone down. Damn. Oh, shit, I can't remember. I'm a damn massage therapist. So but anyways, we were in Germany, and then, you know, out there it was like better food. So I was like real fit. I had my own uniform. I had my own, you know, like whenever my dad would take me to the base, you know, I put my uniform on, and my shit was creased just like his. And I was like 6, 7, and 8. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So when as soon as we,
6, 7, 8.
Yeah, yeah. So when we came back, so 6, 7, and 8, because we were in Germany for 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, so when I came back eating, I think the food in America fucked me up, bro. Really, I really do, bro. Because as soon as I came back, I blew the fuck up, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so I got big, you know. And in my freshman year, I played football, you know, for the school I went to. My dad went to, my uncles, cousins, aunties, we all went to Catholic school. You know, played football, and I was a defensive end and a tight end. Okay. And that my mom and dad had split up when I was like 10. So by the time they finished everything and I got to live with my dad, I was a freshman in high school, and I chose to live with my dad in a divorce. So he had custody of me. So after everything settled, I get to my dad, and I get to his girlfriend's house, and the door is locked. Is deadbolted, right? Both doors, the side door out to the carport and the front door out to the yard. They both got deadbolts, and there's no cable. It's just a fuzzy screen. And my dad's in the room with this bitch. I can't get out the house. I'm like about to go fucking crazy. Anyways, I end up going to school, and I'm fat, you know. I was big, you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And
don't be ashamed,
you
was fat.
Yeah, yeah, right? I was big. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, after that football season, my dad moved to Arizona, and I moved to Arizona with them. But I went to high school and played my sophomore year. But in between that time, my dad took me to Long Beach to the beach, and I had to ride the riverbed from Long Beach on my bike. In a trash bag, I had to ride from Long Beach to Compton 2 times a week.
Yeah.
So I would do that, and I just trained in the off season with him. Like he made like a little mini camp, you know what I'm saying? And I worked. Yeah. And so my sophomore year, I went from being a defensive end to a tight end. I was starting strong safety on the JV squad, so the freshman JV varsity. So, and mind you, I started school early because, you know, as soon as I turned 5 in October, my mom just took me up to the school and said, here, he's 5. He's ready for school. And so I graduated a year early. So I graduated 16, 17. You know what I'm saying? So I'm the first string strong safety, and I'm a third string running back. And man, let me tell you, man, I was a bad motherfucker, bro. Sophomore year, okay, shit happened. I took my junior year off. I didn't, because, you know, I just, you know, my sophomore year, a lot of shit changed for me. Like my Christmas stopped, you know, my 14, 15, from 14 to 15, you know what I'm saying, everything stopped. My pops wasn't giving me no money for lunch, nigga. You know what I'm saying? He I got nothing for lunch, nothing. No lunch money. My mom, she's part of the thespian club. And so I stole a wallet at school and went and got me something to eat. You know what I'm saying? Because I had practice. And so that year, sophomore year, the varsity went to the playoffs, and I got called up to the varsity as a sophomore, as a 14-year-old, 15-year-old sophomore.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Killing it, bro. I almost got paralyzed a couple times, but so senior year comes around. Junior year, I get in trouble, and I work all of my junior year. Okay. I get off of school, I go to work at Taco Bell. You know, I don't know about the statute of limitations for creating like getting fake identity, like illegals, to a black 15-year-old to work at Taco Bell like a slave too, mind you, bro. I'm working like 50 hours a week with Mickey, bro. You know what I'm saying? I'm working like 50 hours a week, bro. She's giving me my whole check, bro. She cashed for me and gave me bread, bro. I had bread. You know what I'm saying? So I got fat. It was fast food. I got fat again. I got even bigger than I was when I was a freshman. So my senior year, I go back. I go back to Catholic school. My dad moves back to California. So and I go to St. Anthony, St. Anthony, where I'm a senior, and I take over the starting center position in like week three of the season. And man, let me tell you, you know what I'm saying? So there was one play, the reason, KTM, you know, criminal trademark.
Yeah.
You know, the reason I got that on me, cause I was a center, and my quarterback was AJ Chavez. You know what I'm saying? We were the ones that created criminal trademark. You know what I'm saying? And he lived right over the riverbed from my grandparents, and right there in Downey. I think it's Downey.
Yeah.
And so I take over the starting position. There's one where it was a shotgun. So it was a hike, and the linebacker had pushed through the right guard. So and then there was a nose tackle on me. So what I did is I pushed the linebacker off. I pushed the nose guard, the nose tackle, off onto the left guard, right, and pushed off and peeled off, going back to on my left, you know, turning around like a half circle, because I know it was a shotgun, but still had a 3-step drop, so that's a 7-step drop total. So I peeled off and went back. I knew I had the room, and right before the linebacker got to AJ, I blew him the fuck up, bro. Blew him up. Boom. Man, the coach replayed that shit over and over again, bro. Over and over again. He said, "That's what I'm talking about." He's like, "That's it." You know what I'm saying? Dude, I pushed the nose guard, because he came in. I pushed him onto the back of the left guard. Like, I tripped him up using the left guard, bro. Cause he had a dude on him. I think it was in like a five two.
Yeah.
So it was kind of hectic. And we was playing Verbum Dei. They was an all black Catholic school. So they was taught calling us Uncle Toms and all kinds of shit, bro. Oh, yeah. They were saying all kinds of shit. So, but that journey after that, so I graduated at 17. I joined a semi-pro league.
Yeah.
Right. And it's with the, so I coach, after I graduated, I coach because, you know, I wanted to go into the Army. They wouldn't sign the papers. So yeah. I went with my dad and I kind of rebelled too. I started, you know, a culture. I started like a way of life, that criminal trademark, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mind you, I can't even, you know, go into it, but I will tell you that at one point, a Long Beach gang was like, you know, we heard you could set it off. We think we could use your services. And I was like,
yeah.
Well, I said, I'm from Compton, and I don't think someone from Compton is supposed to be in a Long Beach gang. And I turned around and walked away. Like I was Eddie Griffith, you know, with glasses on. I walked away like a nerd. I walked straight the fuck away. Hey, these niggas came up in blue denim, Timberlands, blue denim Timberlands, nigga, denim jeans, creased on the seams. These niggas had denim everything. I was like, damn. But you know, but for real, I was like, what when I was 15 and my dad told me, he was like, you know, I got here in the 70s, you know, early 70s, you know.
Yeah.
And he was like, no one showed me how to do it, you know. He said, so I wanted you to grow up how, you know, how I did. That's why, you know, he told me that's why he treated me like he did, you know. And he told me he was like, you know, I want to take the blame for your mistakes because, you know, you missed some training, because I like me not being there, you missed some training. And I'm like, and you know, I sit there, I'm like, training? Like, am I some kind of fucking savage animal that's out here? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like some beast, you know, not contained, you know, because you didn't teach. Like, what didn't you teach me? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You showed me a lot, you know, but what did you teach me?
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. Okay. So back to basic. One of the stories, let's tell them about the Clipper story. After about seven haircuts, what starts to happen to the people's neck when the Clippers get too hot?
Oh man! Oh yeah, everybody was getting lined up, bro. Nobody was not trying to get a, because you know the Army give you that fucking straight fucked up haircut.
No, they cut everything off. They don't care about your hairline.
Yeah, no line, no edge, no nothing.
They just cut everything off.
Yeah, you just cut it off and that's it. Whatever your hairline looks like, that's what you got, bro. That's just it. You know what I'm saying? Niggas wasn't trying to roll with that shit.
No. Some people was having the Batman signal on their head. Some people had like a trap house on their forehead. Some people, you know, some people was cool. Most people was cool. But anyways, so we're in the DFAC, and when we're in the DFAC, if you're not getting your food, you are taking a step, coming to attention, and then parade rest. Next person gets their food, you come to attention, take a step, go back to attention, go to parade rest. Next person gets their food, go to attention, take a step forward, go back to attention, go to parade rest. Okay? So this gives two drill sergeants enough time to evaluate their soldiers. And so Drill Sergeant Felder, Bless his heart. He Chris. He knew you was. He's Geechee.
Yeah, he from South Carolina. Yeah. South Carolina. He was from Charleston, y'all.
Yeah, so, hey,
Geechee going on, boy. You know he was trying to get the basic. Look, he gonna box a nigga and shit like that, boy.
I think Joe Sergeant Felder was the best cadence ever. Like out of it all, I think out of everybody, I think Joe Sergeant Felder probably was the best drill sergeant, I think the coolest, smoothest drill sergeant, let's say that. So drill sergeant Felders is looking at us, and he's like battle. He says, there's Clippers in the Bay battle. He said, there's Clippers in the fucking Bay battle. and so he comes up, I don't know who he goes to, but and he asked me and Chris some questions. He says, he goes, is that a haircut, Private? And they're like, drill sergeant, no. He goes, that's a haircut. I mean, in your face, mouth like, that's a haircut. Like, in your face. Drill sergeant Felder was in your face. And so he goes, he said, your private's got a better lineup than I do, battle. Right? And so I think he goes to Chris or me, and he goes, who got the Clippers, Private? Who got the Clippers, Private? And he said, somebody's like, I don't know. Like, but before they could say, I don't, when they got to don't know like that, he was like, I want him. That shit was so funny. So they knew we had, they could never catch us, bro. They could never catch us.
Get that door open.
So
we get that door open. We did what we wanted to do. Niggas got the porn out. They got the DVDs out. Right. They got the cigarettes out. We getting haircuts mm-hmm. at night. You know what I'm yep. saying? And then we put everything back in the office. And they never knew we knew how to get right. in the office.
So
they came in. They inspected the barracks. They inspected the closets. They could not figure out look, how we was doing it.
They even looked up in the ceilings. In the tile ceilings, bro.
They took the tiles down out the ceilings and was all up in there.
Look, I
don't catch somebody. Somebody about to catch this Article 15.
Look, they could not catch us. They could not catch us. So, but how did they catch us though?
They never caught us. We had
no,
to admit it.
No, we no, had to admit it. We got caught, bro. Integrity. We got caught.
Nah, we never got caught.
Nope.
Bro.
Listen. Nope. Do you remember this? Okay, we never got caught. But do you remember when Drill Sergeant Stone, we never got caught in the act. We never got caught in the act. Okay, so you're right, bro. And you're right.
Never got caught. They never knew.
No.
They don't know how we got in there. We never told them.
Yes, we did. We did.
No, we
did. Listen, because you remember this. They came in and our trash wasn't taken out. And they say, look, they say, look at these nasty ass privates battle. He said, I'm ready to play some fucking kick trash. Are you ready? And Drill Sergeant Stone was like, no, Drill Sergeant Ogle was like, whoa, I'm ready to fucking play battle. I've been wanting to play all fucking week battle. Oh no, all cycle. He's like, I've been waiting to play all fucking cycle battle. He goes, I'm fucking ready. Let's go. And Drill Sergeant Stone got the trash thing and he rolled it his way. And Drill Sergeant Ogle rolled it to Stone. And he kicked the shit out that fucking trash can. And that shit went wobbling. And a can of dip rolled out that bitch and opened up and splattered on the ground. And then Drill Sergeant Ogle was like, ding, 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 ding. Everybody in the fucking front lean the rest position. Move. And then we pushed until the ceiling sweat. You don't remember that?
Yeah, I remember that, but look, my thing is, that's not what started it, bro. They was already on us at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Alpha Bay had already told us, so they specifically came in there to fucking find out what was going on.
But they,
was already searching for how, they was already searching for contraband.
Yes, and the way they found it was in our trash.
That's how Drill Sergeant Ogle got to the trash. You know what I'm saying? But before that point, you already had Drill Sergeant Robbins and Drill Sergeant, what's the big, tall, lanky Drill Sergeant name? Boys, that nigga was too cool, man.
It was like Drill Sergeant like Jones or something.
I don't know, but he was too cool. He was a cool-ass white man, dog. I swear
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but
he reminded me of Gower.
So he was cooler than Gower, bro. This motherfucker was cooler than
Gower. I'm talking about he kind of looked like him though, but just like a taller version. He kind of looked like Gower.
Look
like,
shut the fuck up. So I was goddamn. So what happened was they couldn't figure out how we did it. They didn't ask us at first. They told us they knew what was going on, and they just knew that they was gonna find it on their own. So after about an hour and a half of them searching and trying to figure the shit out. You know what I'm saying? While they
of us in the front leaning rest position.
Yeah. But they were smoking us while they were doing it because they already knew what was going on.
Wait, how many drill sergeants came in at that point?
Man, like all of them. The whole fucking
cadre
was on that shit.
That's right. It was like a fucking cadre. SWAT team. It was like two. Cadre. It was like three drill SWAT teams came in there.
Everybody was in that bitch, my man.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? And they couldn't figure it out. They was trying to put their hands together. They done searched. They done tore up everybody's locker. All that shit. They couldn't find shit. And we let them do the shit. And then at the end of it, because we realized that we was not going to get out this smoking situation. They was just going to continue to smoke the fuck out of us. They was mad at this point. They was getting outsmarted by some fucking privates. And they didn't like that shit. Think about it. Them motherfuckers.
You right.
Hell no.
You right. Because we were the talk of like the whole post, really. Because remember the missions that we took to get it? Remember we said we did missions to get the shit, bro.
Yeah.
Like we they do would come back like, haha, I bought boxing gloves and this.
You're not explaining how long this shit went on.
I mean, we're there for 6 months.
We was already in the bag before we started doing the missions to add to the bag. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but we ran missions the whole to get it the whole time.
Those, I think it was Queen.
Yeah, it was Queen. Queen, because you remember? Yeah. Do you remember where we used to leave from? Okay, so behind the CQ,
you know what I'm saying is,
they had that one area where we smoked our first cigarette. Remember when we did the first time we did it? And we smoked a cigarette the first time. It was like over on the side in the cut. After our mission, after our first mission, and remember all it was like who went? We sent Black. Remember Black went the first time. Do you remember that?
I remember. Excuse me. I remember that, but I remember.
Well,
we had the Clippers, and we had already been in there. But anyway, getting back to the smoking shit. So we had them been being smoked for about 3 hours at this point. And we was just sitting front leaning rest. Excuse me. Looking for the next thing when they transitioned us to another exercise. Nobody was talking. Everybody was tight-lipped. 3 hours of smoking. I don't know how you get...
No, we look.
I don't know how you get 100 motherfuckers to be on one accord and nobody snitching, bro.
Hey, that's why we didn't get in trouble.
I know. So
we like negotiated that shit.
And how they end up catching us is because you and your integrity, motherfucker, sitting there talking about, man, we need to go ahead and tell them. We did it, man, because everybody's suffering, man, and I know they're tired. Me and you was good. We could have did that shit all day, man. You know what I'm saying?
But motherfuckers were starting to cry.
Yeah, motherfuckers were crying and shit, and that shit was hurting on your heartstrings and shit. And you was like, I'm going to tell. And me being your battle buddy, I had to be with you. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't do it on your own. So we went up to him, and we was like, we did it. It was like, where the shit at? We was like, in the office.
And hey, but hold up.
Look. We never say we get it out every night.
No, look.
We left,
hey.
We left them believing we had got it out during the fucking
no,
the
listen.
Weekend when we had a little outing.
Look. No, check it. Do you remember how we did it? We sent someone else to pick the lock. Remember? We because look.
From Charlie Company, he picked the lock because he
yeah
knew how to bend the hanger just right to grab the hook of the handle.
Yep. Hey. So wait. Was I gonna say? Remember, were you Command Sergeant Private? I was First Private. You was Command Sergeant Private. Garza was Brigadier Private or something like that. Mm-hmm. Queen was something. He was Lieutenant Private.
Yeah.
We had a whole structure.
Organization out there.
Yep.
Organization out there, yo.
Man, that was crazy.
Charlie Bay was lit. Charlie Bay was the party bay, nigga. No,
but yeah.
No bullshit.
So it was. I made the call to fucking to just end it because they couldn't smoke us no more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But everybody was. I mean, I mean, that shit went for a long time.
But we never told them how we did it. They never figured out that we had free access to the shit at any time. They never figured it out. They tried to figure it out. They thought they knew, but they just didn't know. They couldn't figure it out. You know what I'm saying? It was nothing. They even moved the ceiling tile to see if we crawled over into the office, too. And then it was a wall. No, we didn't climb over there.
We had
to slide credit cards. I remember one of the drill sergeants broke a credit card trying to slide it through the fucking door jam.
Couldn't do it.
That shit didn't work. And they couldn't figure out how we did it. And it was so simple. All we did was use a hanger. Goddamn, put the loop on that bitch, bend that bitch just right so you can slide it under the door, stand it up, hook the handle, and pull that bitch.
Yep.
That was it. You know what I'm saying? We in there, in all our personal shit, every fucking night. Niggas was written in my, and that was my DVD player, and I had to put it in that bitch. Niggas was written in my DVD player, $20 for 15 minutes, nigga.
Dang.
I used to have to disinfect that shit when I got it back, because I wasn't taking no chances.
Look, hey, what did Drill Sergeant nigga Ogle do when, remember he turned it on and played it, and it was like, and he was like, he said, brown chicken, brown, brown battle, brown chicken, brown, brown.
Oh, shit. Hey, it was funny, though, because he sat there and watched it for a whole minute, though.
I know.
He passed it off to somebody else, dog. It was a good one, too, though, wasn't it?
It was.
That was a good porno I had in that shit, bro. that was old school Ron Jeremy type pornos, nigga. When porn was good. Before that bitch got industrialized, bro.
But hey, but I was the shit. You know what? I was the shit in basic. When he was like, he said pick five battle buddies. I'm gonna smoke the dog shit out you, private. I'm gonna smoke the shit out you, private. And so I picked all the people who ate fat cakes.
You picked Moran. Yeah. Black. Pick Joyner,
Gregor. I picked Gregor.
You picked all the crackheads.
No, yeah. I picked Miller too. Miller and Gregor. Because I said Gregor needs it. Because
Miller was on her shit.
No, but I picked her because Gregor. I picked Gregor and Miller was her battle buddy.
You picked Farnsworth too.
Yep.
Farnsworth, motherfucking gay ass. No disrespect to anybody. Just fucking high.
So, hey, do you know what he man? This dude, Dewhurst, took us out to the pit. He made a skull, like we had to do the skull dragging. Remember the crawling where you can't lift nothing. He made a skull drag.
Taker in that whole situation, and I destroyed all the trust that Drill Sergeant Thomas had in me, dog.
What happened?
This black female, she loved the fuck out of me, bro. I couldn't do nothing wrong. And y'all, one day we had mail call, and you know they just hand out your mail and talk shit when you get your mail.
Yeah,
like kid, here go your mail. Williams, your mail. You know what I'm saying? They just passing out mail. And this one dude in our platoon, he got a package, and the package is some gourmet motherfucking sausages and saying we out here like, oh my god.
Hey, didn't you jack his ass?
Man, hold on, I'm gonna tell a story. So right. They like everybody like, oh, we love you, bro, we love you. And the sergeant was like, I'm gonna give you this, but only on the condition you share with your platoon. Cause I'm not really supposed to let you have it, but if you share with your platoon, I don't have a problem with it. And he was like, okay, you know, he was a little autistic, you know what I'm saying? He was like, okay, so you know what I'm saying, we got that to the barracks and shit.
You got two minutes left.
Let me get a piece. You told the drill sergeant you're gonna share the shit. He's like, I am. But he wanted to be on his time type shit, man. You can't. What the fuck are you doing? We just got. Like, come on, man. We about to go to bed. Let me get some sausage, man. Let me get some salami. Let me get some crackers and cheese, bitch. You know what I'm saying? So, just jokingly, you know what I'm saying? I took the nigga shit. I was like, nigga, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? And then he came around. He was like, give it back. So I passed it off to the next person. And then they passed it off to the next person. Somehow this shit get in my battle buddy hands. I didn't give it to him for a reason because I know he was a little bit impulsive. Anyway, somebody gave it to him.
To who?
He opened it. You, motherfucker. You opened the nigga shit. I just took it from him. Man, we was terrorizers. I'm not going.
Oh shit. Oh man. Damn. Yeah.
Man, so I'm gonna tell you, man, between me and my battle buddy, man, we messed up. Oh man, we ran that day, man, for real. I'm coming from the South, he coming from the West. We got different life experiences, but we on the same wavelength, you know what I'm saying? And our wavelength was like, we coming from a place where we was living our lives, like real shit, like living, you know what I'm saying? We wasn't out here obeying the law. We was doing what the fuck we wanted to do. Only thing was, is he was in the West and I was in the South. You know what I'm saying? And we met, we understood each other, we understood where we came from, and we understand that other motherfuckers hadn't really lived life like that. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, long story short, he opened his shit, everybody starts smashing this nigga shit. He goes to tell the drill sergeant, and she comes to me, and she was just so hurt with the puppy dog eyes. I can't believe you did this, kid. I had so much faith in you. Why would you do such a thing? I was like, drill sergeant, we was just joking, and it just got out of hand, and she was like, mm-mm. I'm gonna have to smoke you. You're gonna have to get your battle buddies, and y'all gonna have to get in the pit. And she made us scroll drag that day. And I lost all relationships with her after that day.
What?
After that day, she never looked at me the same, bro.
For real?
I was like so hurt, my nigga. I was like, bitch, I love you though. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody else, like I've always had an infatuation with older women. You know what I'm saying? So everybody else was on the other soldiers in the platoon. I'm trying to get at the fucking drill sergeants. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's up? These bitches already in shape. I don't know if you know nothing about army females, but they bad, bro, for real, or some real shit. These chicks been in the army for like 16 years at this point, so you know they bodies is right. It was one called Drill Sergeant Toe McCann, guys. She was 4'8". Wow. I'm lying to you not. She was like 4'8", not even 5 foot. But when I tell you, she ran aerobics classes. So you know her body is nice and toned. She's fine as shit. Man, I'm trying to get her. And I remember one night she was like, she made me her fucking her duty soldier. You know what I'm saying? And when you're the duty soldier to the duty drill sergeant, you just run their errands type shit. You know what I'm saying? They march in a platoon, you walking off to the side carrying their food, and you stay in the duty office with them and shit. I could have smashed. You know what I'm saying? I ain't even gonna lie. I could have. You know what I'm saying? I didn't. I don't know why I didn't. Oh, because I wasn't the only one in the office. She had another goddamn duty sergeant. But we connected so well. You know what I'm saying? And me and that drill sergeant, we connected well too up until I took that white boy shit, and I, because I could have got an Article 15. You fucking with other people mail. So really,
nah. It wasn't. We didn't open his mail. We opened up the cookie or the wrapper and shit.
That was his mail though. That was his mail.
Yeah, like but no, no, nah, we it was no, it was no mail tampering at all.
Either way, it was his package. It shouldn't be fucked with.
We didn't eat his shit though.
Hell yeah, we ate that shit.
I didn't.
What are you talking about? You must be there getting out. I ate, nigga, because all the other motherfuckers was eating, and I'd be damned if I don't get that nice gourmet sausage, nigga. I'd be damned if you ain't gonna give me some fucking salami. I didn't open it though. I did take it from you.
I don't even think I opened it.
Man, I'm telling you, you opened that shit, bro. You open that shit. You might have opened it jokingly, but then when you open it, the vultures came. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna lie. Because it's like, as soon as the seal was... Come on, bro. We've been locked up for fucking goddamn months, nigga. And we was eating nothing but defect food. We got to look at the fat cakes and the sugar shit all day. We got to look at the fucking soda all day. But we ain't getting none. Man. We ain't getting none of that shit. And he gonna come with some mail talking about some gourmet fucking sausages and crackers and cheese.
Oh, wait. No, wasn't he... No, what was it? Wasn't he like bragging about his shit?
Nah, he wasn't bragging.
Yeah,
wasn't
I think
bragging,
he was.
He just wasn't sharing. He promised the drill sergeant he would share. And when we got to the barracks, he was not sharing.
Oh.
So it was like, oh, you gonna just fuck up on stand on your integrity. You know,
oh, that's why. Okay. Oh, yeah.
One thing you get in the army is the army values, the core values. And one of the biggest values any soldier, any real soldier is going to have is integrity. You're not going to have a fucking soldier that's going to lie, really. Honestly, on some real shit, that shit, you will get integrity checked. I'm gonna tell you right now. You see soldiers falling off buildings and shit on some basis, their fucking integrity is gone. The unit don't fuck with them. Mm. Might as well just leave us, bro. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They ain't really failed. They might have had a little push, but
I want to take a moment to I want to take a moment of silence for the soldiers, our battle buddies that we lost from basic, from we were Echo, right? We were Echo, man, Echo Company.
82nd.
Yeah.
Echo Company, 82nd.
Harris. Company, Harris.
I want Gower.
Gower.
Just motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying? I was in Iraq when Harris passed, man.
Yeah.
Matter of fact,
do you remember how he passed?
Harris was on my base. Yeah, he committed suicide.
Man.
He went into the Port-a-John and he put his M16 to his throat. And he pulled the trigger. You know what I'm saying? And just, you know what I'm saying? It's suicide. You know what I'm saying? Even if a soldier died from indulging in alcohol, you know what I'm saying? It's suicide. But I'm going to be honest with y'all. There's no one that comes out of that experience without some form of PTSD. The whole experience of basic training was traumatic.
Well, yeah, they break you down and they change your whole psyche. You know, you have to be ready.
You start learning about Charlie and
it's berm, belly, chest. Berm, belly, chest.
It's Charlie, Charlie, Charlie. You know what I'm saying? Watch out for Charlie. Don't let Charlie get you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let Charlie get you. So the whole time you're there, you get this understanding that you're never safe. You can't let your guard down. You know what I'm saying? Because Charlie might get you.
Never,
you never know when Charlie going to come.
Never take the same route home. Yeah, remember that shit?
Yeah.
The Army was like the best time of my life, but basic really was the best time, you know, the best time of my life. Went from
I can't even let you say that. I have to make you put that in perspective. I wouldn't be a good fucking battle buddy or brother to you if I didn't.
Okay. Let me reset. Hold on. Wait. Hold up. Time. So let me say this. The basic training was insurmountable in forming who I am today. So, like, not that it was the best time, but it was the time where I learned the most. Like I my spirit was the fullest.
Could it be the time where you kind of found yourself?
Yeah, I mean, hell yeah. Well. Cause remember me and you said it. We're like, you know, they said we're gonna break you down and build you back up. Remember me and you was like, man, we ain't gonna let them like break us. They're not gonna break us. We still gonna be who we brought to the Army. That's who we're gonna be in the Army and out the Army.
I got a little bit of a different perspective. And like, I feel like the Army taught me a lot. I had a great time in the Army. The experience, I wouldn't trade it for any other in the world.
I'm just talking about basic now, just basic.
Yeah, just basic. That's what I'm talking about. I learned a lot, you know what I'm saying? But one thing that stands out in my mind is, I remember we were in chem school at the U.S. Army Chemical School on Fort Lindenwood. We was actually at the CDTF, the Chemical Defense Training Facility. And if you ever want to look at it, just Google CDTF, Chemical Defense Training Facility, and you'll notice that it looks like a Fort Knox institution. It's surrounded by fences, highly secured, and the reason it's secured is because that's where we learn about chemical, biological, and radiological agents. They have some housed there. You know what I'm saying? That's no secret. But that's where we learn, and that's how we learn the tricks of our trade and our craft. And I remember sitting in there, and I remember like one of the first days there, they introduced us to the chemical identification stick. And I remember the stick had ridges on one end of it. One end would test for biological, and the other end would test for chemical. And I remember the chemical end has ridges on it. And I remember they asked the class, why does it have ridges on one end? And I'm like, shit, common sense. So you can use it at night. You know what I'm saying? We train in day and we train at night too. We even learn how to shoot at night. So it's obvious that in a dark situation, so grabbing it, you know exactly what end you have. Right? Yeah. So I told him that and he's like, oh, somebody told this motherfucker this shit. How the fuck he know this shit? Hell nah, that shit in the book or something. You ain't that smart. And I got offended by that shit. That was my first indication. You know what I'm saying? And that shit has happened to me a lot in my life where I don't know why people don't expect as much intelligence from an individual, and they want to downplay that shit. You know what I'm saying? Wow,
man, that's something, bro. That is something right there.
That's something I've always had to fight against. I've had to fight not getting promotions. I've had to fight a lot of shit just because motherfuckers see me, they understand me, and they don't want me to be their boss because they know that would be the track I would be on. So they like, oh, they'll hold you back, and never giving you a real opportunity because of that fear of your intellect. And that's what I've experienced, and I experienced it there, and you know what I'm saying? I joined the Army from college. Not that I was doing anything in college. I wasn't doing shit. I had bad grades. I just made the decision after my freshman year that, hey, I'm going to take this burden off my parents, and I'm going to build my own debt instead of fucking up their money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that was one of my motivations for joining the Army. But what happened was training was so fucking long. And by the time I got out of training, the day we graduated, y'all, the fucking war in Iraq started.
The day we graduated.
You know what I'm saying?
And you know what? When we graduated, Harris was one of the ones that was going to a unit where he was deploying. Remember, when the war started, when we graduated,
me, Harris, Sutton, Kim, it was the motherfuckers from Alabama. We all got telegrams because we were all mobilized. So we all got telegrams the morning of graduation. Yeah, telegrams, y'all. Like the 1942 telegram from Western Union telegram. They still do that shit. You know what I'm saying? So we all got Western Union telegrams letting us know that we were to mobilize. Our units were mobilized. So anybody who had hometown recruiting, anybody that had anything else to do, that shit was canceled. And you got 3 days when you get home and you need to report to the base where your unit was mobilized for deployment. You know what I'm saying? And then I got to my unit. I spent 6 months with my unit sitting on Fort Stewart. In Georgia, we never got deployed. You know what I'm saying? They deactivated us. But by that time, I had done been in the Army for fucking 2 years straight. Not to mention I was delayed entry, meaning I was already signed to join the Army and collecting Army time, even though I hadn't even been to basic yet for 2 years. You know what I'm saying? So at this time, I had been away from home, and the realization came to me that, hey, the only reason you went really reserve was because you scared to leave home. I didn't know I was scared to leave home, but I had spent so much time away from home that it had become normal to me. It had become so normal in the fact, and then the bank account, because we had been sitting there and not being able to spend real money, I had actual money in the bank. So I'm like, when I got back home, it was like, fuck this, man. I'm about to get the fuck up out of here. I'm going active duty. And for me and everybody else that was in my unit back in South Carolina that went to basic training with me, that was the same decision. Kim went active. Sutton went active. Everybody, we all realized we was going home. We was going away from home too long. We never reconnected. You know what I'm saying? Those roots that we had became less important because we had already decided the Army was our life now. You know what I'm saying? So.
Okay, do you remember when we got to the reception barracks? Do you remember that chick that was raising the flag? And do you remember when we went on our first pass, that bitch was still out there raising the flag?
I think I remember that. She was from the retention battalion.
She came in, not retention. When we first got in there, we got all our shots. Remember we got all our shots at that one building, and then we got on the cattle trains and went to our spot, you know. But we stayed a couple nights at that building. So, okay, remember, we had a lot of freedom at that building too. But remember that chick. But remember how we had to sit down and motherfuckers was falling asleep and shit.
Uh-huh.
But look, you remember that one chick that got into it with the first sergeant
That's the chick I remember. You talking about the little crazy black chick?
Yes. Remember, like she stayed.
Yeah, because they recycled her, bro. Purposely recycled her.
But they did it multiple times.
Yeah, she cursed out the sergeant major and shit. And yeah, they was not. She got stuck, bro. She hired her. Like, they was not letting out. She didn't even have a profile for her to be chaptered out with. But when she came in there with that attitude, like, you didn't sign up for this, they fucked her, bro. They fucking basically held her prisoner, bro.
Yeah, I'm talking about seriously held her prisoner. She's the bitch is probably still raising a flag and lowering that bitch every day.
Shit.
For real.
Hey, you probably right. Ain't no telling, man. Ain't no telling. Hopefully she got her act right, man, and they finally goddamn chapter her out. That's what I'm hoping, man. I'm hoping during that time they were just trying to get the psyche valves to be able to chapter her out.
I think it's all in the process of breaking them down. You know, cause you're right. Yeah, like OSA.
You don't want her, bro. Like, I mean, let's get it understood. Everybody, base training, the whole purpose of it is not only to train you to be a killer, train you to be a well-oiled machine, and understand military doctrine, and ring structure. It is also an opportunity for whatever they did not catch when they initially checked you. I remember I told my homeboy one day, I was like, bro, man, I'm gonna tell you one thing. I was talking about my disability from the Army. I was explaining to him, because he'd never been in the military. I was like, anything that was wrong with that, that's wrong with you, the military got to pay for it. Because, bro, I'm gonna tell you, that you are a perfect human specimen when you join the military, bro. Like, if you understand what we go through slave motherfucking inspection before you get a chance to sign on the dotted line. They're gonna make you duck walk. They're gonna have all the men in a line, in a row, duck walking, squatting, making sure all your joints is working, making sure your psych is good, making sure your eyes are good, you know what I'm saying? Making sure everything was in acceptable ranges. But you basically are being selected based upon your ability to be a fine human specimen.
Yep.
You're a great human being. That's why we want you. You're a great body for us. That's what it is. You know what I'm saying? So basic training is an opportunity for anything that wasn't caught before you sign on that dotted line for them to catch. So they're going to run the shit out of you. They're going to push you mentally. They're going to make sure everything about you is exactly what the fuck it was advertised to be.
Yeah. Have you ever ran 2 miles straight? Like 2 miles straight, yeah.
Hell nah, bro. I didn't even understand how I was going to even get to that point.
Look, we were throwing up foam. When we were done, we were throwing up foam. That shit was crazy.
All right. I'm so much of a fucking human being. I remember that time. I know because you go to the hospital. I gotta go with you, and I gotta sit in there while the doctor examines you or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So you know, I got diagnosed with bronchitis because, you know what I'm saying, we was there in Fort Leavenworth, Missouri, in the middle of the fucking winter, and that's a whole nother thing, guys. I'm gonna go to that after this, but I got diagnosed with bronchitis. So. But I didn't get no profile, no strong profile or nothing like that. So I still had to run. And when I tell y'all guys, one day we ran like 3.5 miles, and I'm coughing on every other step. I'm coughing in cadence. You know what I'm saying? I'm coughing in cadence. Every other step, I'm coughing because my lungs is not getting enough oxygen. And I remember first sergeant got beside me, and it was still a gang of motherfuckers behind me. Like, I'm not even falling out coughing every other step. And first sergeant say, everybody behind Kit, you losing your pass this weekend. Behind Kit, when we finish this run, you losing your pass this weekend. A lot of motherfuckers lost their pass. I could have slowed down.
You know what? Hey, man.
I'm a soldier. I couldn't.
Man. Hey, look, I'm going to finish with this. I had made my own cadence. And I'm going to do it.
I remember, but I want the people to hear.
In my younger days, I used to sport a rag.
In my younger days, I used to sport a rag.
Backpack full of cans plus a 4-4 mag.
Backpack full of cans and a 4-4 mag.
G'd from the feet up. G'd from the feet up. Now I'm in the army with a ruck on my back.
Now I'm in the army with the ruck on my back.
M16 with hand laying the enemy flat.
M16
land
enemy flag.
Saying low, and then now going low rider, low rider, low rider, low,
low rider, low rider,
low rider, low rider, low rider, low rider, low.
Low rider, low rider, low.
I used to wear my faded jeans. Now I'm in my army greens. Singing low ride up, low ride up, low ride low.
Low rider, low rider, low.
Low rider, low rider, low rider, low.
Low rider, low rider, low rider, low.
Used to eat at Mickey D's.
Used to eat at Mickey D's.
A number three with extra cheese.
Say what? Number three with extra cheese.
Singing low rider. Low rider, low.
Hey, low rider, low rider, low rider, low.
Man, you know what? Hey, I think that's the only one.
My favorite one was, I wake up in the morning. Wait, hold on, how it go? My airborne.
Airborne.
Rangers lead the way.
Wait, how does that how it went? I don't think that's how it went.
Airborne Rangers lead the way. My buddy's in the foxhole.
My buddy's in the foxhole.
With a bullet in his head.
A bullet in his head.
The medic says he's wounded.
But I know that he's dead.
Low rider, low rider, low rider, low.
Man, oh man. Remember roll me over in the clover.
In the clover.
I put my belly on the spine.
Put my belly on the spine.
Drive it on down the line.
Drive it on down the line.
Roll her over.
Roll her over.
In the clover.
In the clover.
I put my belly on the spine. Who's that?
Man, you got me
wanting
to goddamn put on my running shoes right now.
Oh, shit.
Yes,
man.
Be out here, nigga. Shit. Well,
we got to bring this to a close. Man, I'm you know what? That's what? I was 21, so that's like what 19 years ago. 19 years of brotherhood, man.
But notice guys, once a soldier, never a civilian. Right. They tell you that at the beginning, you never going back. That's the trade off. You can never. I still walk through the parking lot, guys, at a grocery store looking for cover and concealment. Not on no crazy shit. That's just now.
You never know.
I'm blessed. I think I'm blessed to be thinking like that, especially in these days and times. Mm-hmm. Who you think you not gonna catch at your local Walmart? Goddamn, talking about you want to goddamn kill as many people as you can. You're not gonna catch me.
No.
Tell you that.
All right, KB.
For sure.
I want to thank the family, thank the community for listening. You know what I'm saying? This isn't the same key conversation, though. This is Disney.
God, Disney.
Disney. All right, everybody. You guys have a good night. Peace. Well, Disney. Woo. Well, I hope you enjoyed a little bit of insight and some flashbacks and going back and forth with my brother KB, you know, a little piece of my history. I know it took a long time to get this podcast out, but some life-changing things have happened, and you know, I gotta do different things, but I really hope to keep bringing you guys more podcasts and more frequently. You know, do me a favor. I'm gonna put some things out there, and if you can respond, I want to see where I'm gonna move to next. Like, what's the next podcast gonna be? I just want to let you know that there are 2 or 3 different podcasts. Actually, there's the Same Key Conversations, Politics and Pussy, Diznam, and Diznam. All of them are going to have different content. Just stay tuned. If you want to check me out, you can on TikTok. Denny Youngbud. That's D-E-N-N-Y. Y-U-N-G-B-U-D-D. Denny Youngbud. Check me out on TikTok. Again, thank you for listening. Those of you that have. Have a good night. Have a good day. You know what I'm saying? Have a great weekend. Festive holidays. Filled with family, friends, people that love you and that you love. Take care. Alright. This is Hef Tanner out. You know what I'm saying? Denny Youngbud. Look out for The Life. I'm gonna be reading this book. It's not in print anymore. And it's the folklore and legends and myths and tales about the life, the sports life, as they called it back in the day. Pimping, street hustling, that gangsta shit, you know what I'm saying? Not this gangsta shit that's out today, but I'm talking about that old school getting money. You know, motherfuckers getting out on their own supply, shit like that. Yeah, I appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? Peace. Give me a piece of the action, and I'll tell you what's cracking.